Interestingly, our topic for today, high value targets, is super soakers. Some of those got super soaked, right? Super soakers. Some of you are waiting for me to pull out super soakers, aren't you? I'm not going to do it today. I'm not going to do it. No super soakers. I know. What a bummer, huh? But this whole month, we're talking about high value targets. In other words, when you look at your whole life, what do you value the most? What are the places where you really zero in on what's the most important? And Dave, oh my goodness, I got so blessed. I was with the Revolution and the kids last Sunday, but Dave gave a great message last week. If you missed it, listen online about the value of being enlightened. It was so, so good. I was shouting him down in my living room listening to it. I was like, yeah, yeah, you go. It was so good. So listen to it if you didn't listen. Today I'm going to talk about the value of being a super soaker. The value of being a super soaker. The first point I want to look at, and I just want to warn you in advance, I sense the Holy Spirit over this information really strong. This week when I was preparing it, it was like, it was the easiest message I've ever done in my life, really. It was like God just pulled a piece from here, pulled a piece from here, pulled, and then put them all together and said, there you go. Felt like a gift. So I sense God's presence on this message really strong. So if you sense something happening in your spirit while I'm talking, that is the Holy Spirit. That's not me. That's not my words. It's God and His words, okay? Number one, the way that we become a super soaker is that we see. S-E-E. We see. In other words, we look for clues of God's presence. We look for clues of God's presence. The first point I want to make on that is that you, have you ever been in your car or in your house or in a building somewhere, even at work, and all of a sudden you just got this awareness that God was with you? Has that ever happened? Maybe you just see a beautiful scene in nature and you're like, wow, God is with me. That's what I'm talking about. A sudden sense, an awareness that God is with you. We see this in Genesis 28, 16 through 19. Before I read the part that I'm going to read, Jacob had just left his homeland. He was on his way to a new land, because he had cheated his brother out of his birthright. That's an interesting story. So if you want to read it, go back and read it. The historical value. It's really good. It's really a good story. But he goes to bed. He's camping. Everybody loves to camp, right? Only if the conditions are perfect for me. No bugs, not too hot, and not too cold. I don't ask for much. And a nice clean bathroom. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Not much, right? I don't know where you find that. I've yet to find it. Have you heard of glamping? That's what I want to try, right, Shauna? It looks, it's like camping, but it's glamorized. That's why it's called glamping, because they set up these gorgeous tents and they have a regular, like, king size bed set up. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Glamping and beautiful bathrooms, but you're outdoors and you get to see the stars and you get to have a little campfire and then you crawl into your king size overstuffed bed. Yeah, that sounds good to me. Jacob was camping and he was not glamping, and we know that because he put his head on a rock to go to sleep. That is definitely not glamping. He had his head on a rock and he went to sleep, and when he was asleep he dreamed that there was a stairway that reached up to heaven and God was at the top and angels were going up and down the steps. And God appeared at the top of the steps and God said to him basically, I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham and your father Isaac. I love that he said that. I love that. That's really powerful when you think about it. Then he said, this ground belongs to you. Then he said, I am with you. Then he said, I will protect you. And he said, I will bring you back here because this is your land. Even though you're going away for a while, I'm bringing you back here. This is your land. And then, and our story picks up on Genesis 28, 16 through 19. It says, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place and I wasn't even aware of it. You see, he had a sudden awareness, a sudden sense that God was with him. But he was also afraid and said, what an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven. The next morning, Jacob got up very early. So this was in the middle of the night. He had this awareness, wow, God is with me. Then he went back to sleep. I like that too. The next morning, Jacob got up very early. He took the stone he had rested his head against, and he set it upright as a memorial pillar. Then he poured olive oil over it. In other words, he consecrated it. He anointed it as a remembrance. He named that place Bethel, which means house of God, although it was previously called Luz, L-U-Z. Now, what's interesting about that to me is that Luz means almond tree. It just means almond tree. And he said, this place has become sacred instead of common because of God's presence here. So I'm going to rename it Bethel, which means house of God. Isn't that interesting? Because that's what God's presence does. God's presence takes what's very ordinary and makes it sacred. That's what his presence does. So when you get a sudden awareness that God is with you, instead of barreling through to the next thing, pause and soak. Just pause and soak in that presence, because that is an opportunity for something common to become something sacred. So that's one thing you see. You can also see point B, an awareness of the fruit of his spirit. We find those in Galatians 22 and 23, and they are, some of you memorized them in Sunday school, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Have you ever been in the grocery store, anywhere that you go throughout your day, and you see evidence of one of those fruit of the spirit? Maybe it's the screaming kid and the mom who's being patient with the screaming kid. That's the fruit of the Spirit, that she can be patient when she wants to wring that child's neck. You need to have patience too and not glare at her, okay? She's had a rough day. Give her lots of grace. It's hard, right? Whenever you see the fruit of the Spirit, you need to pause and notice it. We just skim right by it. We skip right by it like it wasn't even there. And we need to celebrate that and thank God for it. When you see it in your own life, you know it's not from you. It's from the Lord, because it is not in my nature to be patient. It's just not. Right? But when I see myself being patient, what can I do? I go, thank you, God. You're helping me to be patient when I want to smack somebody. Right? Bill Martin, he cracks me up on Thursdays for the longest time. He didn't do throwback Thursday. He did throat punch Thursday. Just list who you want to throat punch today. I was laughing so hard. I'm like, I like that better than throwback Thursday so much more. It's just more fun somehow. But yeah, I know, isn't it funny? Thank you, Megan. She and I, we understand. But whenever I see patience in my life, I know it's from God. It's not from me. Whenever I see goodness or kindness or faithfulness or gentleness or self-control, I celebrate it. It's from God. When I see it in my kids, I celebrate it. Wow, thank you for your self-control. That was really amazing what you just did. We tend to praise all the wrong things in our kids. We praise them for how beautiful they are. And I love beauty, but beauty is fleeting. You know, beauty goes away. If we're going to zero in on something, zero in on the fruit of the Spirit and praise that. Point C, when you see a recognition of his kingdom at work, Romans 14, 17 tells us what his kingdom looks like. Along with the fruit of the Spirit, his kingdom, it says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whenever you see righteousness, peace, or joy, that's a recognition of his kingdom. And then in 1 Corinthians 4:20, it says, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk, it is living by God's power. We need to see. We need to see so that we can soak. We need to see, as many years ago, I had a family member who married this woman from Russia. Her name was Lilia. And she was quite a character, no doubt about it. They lived with us for a while, so that was interesting because we would get phone calls at like 3 o'clock in the morning and I would go, hello? And it was somebody screaming in Russian at me. Screaming, because they don't just talk, they scream. I don't know, they just do. That they have a very loud, natural way of talking. It's just loud. And at least her family did. And I'd be like, oh, Lilia, it's for you, right? But it was so interesting one time because I took her to the airport to pick up her son who was coming over from Russia, who she hadn't seen in a long time. And so it was kind of cool. We made posters, welcome to America, and had balloons. And it was really fun. He was 7 years old, and she hadn't seen him in 2 years, I believe, or 18 months. And she was very excited to see him. And so we were sitting at the airport. We ended up sitting at the airport for like 6 hours because there was a delay, and then there's a whole list of things that happened. But during that 6 hours, here's one thing I noticed about her. We would be sitting there talking, and she would say, out of the blue, she would look over and she would say, you see that lady in the blue over there? I'd go, yeah. She's from Russia. I'd be like, how can you tell? She's not talking. She's sitting there reading. How do you know she's from Russia? I can just tell. And I'm like, at first I was very doubtful. Sure. Okay, Lilia. She would go over and strike up a conversation with her in Russian. She had an ability to recognize who was from her homeland just by the way they looked, somehow. Not by the way they talked, just by the way they looked. She was dead on every single time. And I learned something that day, and that is we should be able to recognize those who are in the kingdom of God. They should feel familiar to us somehow. We should be able to pick them out. Have you ever been talking to someone? It happened just this week to me. I was talking to this lady, and then she found out I was a pastor. She was like, oh, and I knew we had connected on some level, but I didn't know what it was until she let me know she was a Christian. She's like, I might come to your church. We're looking for a church, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wow, that's so cool, because I felt that familiarity right away, even before I knew she was a Christian. When we recognize righteousness, peace, and joy, and living by God's power, we are recognizing God's kingdom. That's what we're doing. We're seeing God's kingdom. Then when you see it, point two, soak. Soak there. In other words, find a way to partner with his reality. This is one of the best stories in the New Testament. You're going to love this if you haven't heard it already. Acts 16, 22 through 34, talking about Paul and Silas and how they went to this city and they preached, and then they cast this demon out of this girl and set her free. But then after that, it says, a mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. How many have had that happen for your faith? Yeah, me neither. I mean, that's pretty severe if you think about it. They were severely beaten with wooden rods, right? And then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in stocks. Now, let's just talk about that for a minute, because the inner dungeon, when I read and studied this, the inner dungeon basically was the innermost, lowest place of the jail. Probably there were no windows in that place. And probably it was cold and dark and damp, very wet. And all the people who have wet basements said, amen. Yeah, you know all about that, right? So they were thrown into the inner dungeon. They had been severely beaten with rods. There's no doubt about it. They had welts and cuts and bruises all over their bodies. And that wasn't enough. They had to be thrown into the dampest, darkest, coldest place. And that wasn't enough. Then they put their feet in stocks. Now, I always thought that just meant, you know, the little chains-like things around their feet. No, that's not what it means. I looked up it in the commentaries. It means the wooden planks that get clamped down on your feet so that you can't move your legs in or out. They're stuck in one position. That was Paul and Silas's reality. That blows my mind. That was their reality. But then the next verse sort of confounds me because it says around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Now, before you think hymns means Old Rugged Cross and What a Friend We Have in Jesus and those hymns, although I love those hymns, I value those because I grew up on those. And they have a special place in my heart. But that's not what they were singing. I looked it up and I'm like, what does that mean? What were they singing? In the most brutal reality they could find, what were they singing? You know what it is? The Hallel, it's called. The Jewish Hallel. And that's basically, you should write this down, Psalm 113 through 118. Psalm 113 through 118. And Psalm 136. So it was a grouping of songs that Jewish people regularly prayed or sang at Passover and at other key events, key celebrations. Now you would think, if I were in that situation, I won't speak for you, I'll speak for me. If I had been severely beaten with wooden rods and then thrown into the coldest, darkest, dampest place there was, and then my feet put in stocks, I think I would have been singing, "Nobody knows the trouble I've seen." I would have been singing a sad, pitiful song, I think, you know? But let's just look for a sample. I didn't plan on this, so Ron doesn't have it, but that's all right. Let's just look for a sample at Psalm 113, one of the songs they were singing. Praise the Lord! Yes, give praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Yeah. Now and forever, everywhere, from east to west, praise the name of the Lord. For the Lord is high above the nations. His glory is higher than the heavens. Who can be compared with the Lord our God? Who is enthroned on high? He stoops to look down on heaven and earth. He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. He sets them among princes, even the princes of his own people. He gives the childless woman a family, making her a happy mother. Praise the Lord. That's just one of the songs they were singing. Have you ever heard the phrase? I heard it when I was growing up a lot. Oh, she's so heavenly minded, she's no earthly good. Have you ever heard that phrase? Raise your hand if you have. Yep, a few of us have. Generational, I think. Might be generational. You know what? This story this week challenged that statement in my life and said, there's no such thing as being so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. There's no such thing. If Paul and Silas could find that, somehow, whatever it took to sing those kinds of praises in that reality they found themselves in, that is amazing to me. That is amazing. And then what happened as a result? I love that it says the other prisoners were listening. Because you know what? When you're singing a song that's counter to your reality, somebody is always listening. Somebody is always watching. When you're doing something that is the opposite of your reality, somebody will take notice. And here's what happened. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake. I love that. And the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Not just Paul and Silas's chains fell off, the chains of even the prisoners who were just listening fell off. I'm telling you, you will shake heaven and earth when you make a decision to partner with his reality instead of your own. You will shake heaven and earth. If you are wounded today, or if you are in chains, I believe God is telling you to partner with His reality. You might just want to glamp out on Psalm 113 through 118 and 136, and you just see what happens when you do that. You just see what happens when you camp out on Psalm 113 through 118 and Psalm 136. What do I mean camp out? I mean read it over and over again. Read it out loud. Talk about it to someone you care about. Let them talk with you about it. What do you see in this verse? Here's what I see in this. Camp out on that passage if you have been wounded or if you are in chains. It's a powerful, powerful lesson for us. Powerful illustration. Verse 27, the jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself because he knew that if he didn't, they would kill him. And it wouldn't be a quick kill. It would be a slow kill. It would be torturous. But Paul shouted to him, stop! Don't kill yourself. That shows me there was probably no light in the inner dungeon either, because the jailer couldn't even see that they were still there. Wow. Don't kill yourself. We're all here. The jailer called for lights and ran down to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Get ready for that question. When you sing the opposite of your reality and you get into the kingdom reality, somebody will come to you and say, I need what you have. Because I don't know how you're going through what you're going through and you're still singing the praises of God. I can't comprehend it. What can I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved along with everyone in your household. I love that answer. That's your answer right there. You don't have to come up with a big, strong theological answer. I don't know how to lead someone down the Romans road. Don't worry about it. Here's your answer. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved along with everyone in your household. And they shared the word of the Lord with him and all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. And you know what struck me when I read that? Chains fall off like that. Wounds take a little longer to heal sometimes. They still had their wounds. The angel could have just said, your wounds are gone. But he didn't. That's not what happened. They still had wounds from their severe beating. And we know that because the jailer was trying to take care of their wounds at this point. If you're in chains, you can be set free today, this moment, like that. You do not have to walk out of here with your feet in socks. You don't. They can come off instantaneously. If you've been wounded, or if you have wounded someone, that might take a little while to heal. That's not about unforgiveness. That's not about anything else except that wounds sometimes take time to heal. Let them heal at the pace that God sets for them to heal. That's all right. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. Well, look at that water baptism right here in our passage today. Isn't that amazing? He brought them into his house and set a meal before them. And he as an entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. Point A, if you find yourself in a bad place, wounded, it's dark, it's cold, it's damp, what should you do? Point A, sing praises and give thanks. See, that's a lot easier said than done. Believe me, I get it. I get it. I heard a pastor say one time, he was a pastor who believed, as we do, in healing, and he had experienced many healings. You know, he would pray for people and they would get healed many, many, many times. And his father was diagnosed with cancer. And he prayed for his father to be healed and he wasn't healed. And he prayed for his father to be healed again, and he wasn't healed. And he prayed for his father to be healed again, and he wasn't healed. Over and over, had many people pray over him, and he wasn't healed. He passed on, went to be with the Lord in heaven. Now, some people could say, well, he was ultimately healed because he went to heaven. Yeah, he was. That doesn't take away the pain of the lack of healing on earth. And he said, when that happened, I had an opportunity. I was at a crossroads in my life. I could either get angry at God and say, this thing is not for real, or I could say, you know what? I have an opportunity here to praise God and offer up a praise that I won't even be able to offer up in heaven, because I'll understand everything in heaven. But right now, I don't understand this. And so in the middle of my understanding, I'm not going to try to come up with little pat answers and try to fit everything into my clean little boxes. I'm just going to say, I don't get it, but I praise you anyway. It's an opportunity to offer an incense up to the Lord that you won't be able to offer up in heaven for eternity. I heard someone say this week, Jesus died to get you into heaven, but he also died to get heaven into you. And you see, we're talking about his kingdom this morning: love, joy, peace, patience, righteousness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness. We're talking about those. That's his kingdom. He wants to get his kingdom into us. And then when that happens, point B, deliver the kingdom to others. I love that Paul and Silas made a decision to praise him, to praise God in the middle of their worst reality. They said, I'm not going to partner with my reality. I'm going to partner with his reality. That's what I'm going to do. And when they did that, look how many people got exposed to the kingdom of God because they made a decision to do that. They were saved, but also the people around them were saved. That's kind of how it's supposed to work. That's kind of how it's supposed to work. God wants to get heaven into us. And then he says, now I give you permission to have the joy of delivering my kingdom to others. It's not a job. It's a joy. You get to spread peace. Have you ever been in a meeting where things were not going very well and one word that was peaceful or one word that was kind turned the whole meeting around? It's amazing what the kingdom of God can do if we get it into us. I have such a sense that there are people in this room right now, you have been deeply wounded and or you are in chains. If that's you, I just want you to stand up as a sign of faith. Stand up if that's you. Anybody? Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Deeply wounded or in chains? It's really strong. God wants to set you free from your chains today. And God is going to send people to bind up your wounds. He is going to send people to bind up your wounds. Family, church family, gather around these people who have stood and put your hands on them as a sign of support and faith. And we're going to pray together. Everybody should have somebody touching them. Chris, can you go back and be with Sheila? Thanks. Lots of support. Lots of support in this place. Lots of support. Maybe if you're touching them, you have something you're supposed to pray over them right now. If that's the case, go ahead and do it. I'm going to pray a general prayer. Break off chains. So we speak freedom to the captives right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak freedom to the captives, Lord. Stocks are falling off. Chains are falling off right now. You do not have to hobble out of here in the same way you hobbled in. You are set free from addictions. You are set free from the pains of the past. You are set free from your own failures, your own mistakes, your own inadequacies. You are set free in the name of Jesus. He took all of that at the cross. You don't have to carry it anymore. You don't have to carry it. You don't have to carry it. You are free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You are free in the name of Jesus Christ. Now for the wounds. God, I thank you that you are going to send people into these lives, Lord, who are going to bandage up wounds. And it might be unlikely people. It's amazing to me. It was the jailer who did the binding up of the wounds. It was the guy who put the stocks on their feet, the same guy. So it might be unlikely people who bind up your wounds, but you, God is going to send person after person, an angel after angel, to bind up your wounds. And you will be healed. You will not walk around with these wounds for the rest of your life. You will not always be damaged. You will not. You will be healed. Whether it takes one day or a year, however long it takes, you will be healed of your wounds.
Healing over you.
because I feel like there's one more thing I want to share with you. If you stood today, or if you stood with someone who is standing today, camp out on Psalm 113 through 118 and Psalm 136. As a sign of, what's that word I'm looking for? That you're standing with them. Solidarity, that's the word. As a sign of solidarity that you're standing with them, I want you to spend time this week reading and meditating on Psalm 113 through 118. And you call out their name before the Lord and you say, I am reading this on behalf of my friend, and you fill in the blank. I am standing with them in the gap. I am determined to stand with them as they heal and as they are set free. I'm standing with them. I tell you, this seems like odd timing, but it's really not. It's really not. We have a new offering declaration this week, and it fits so perfectly with this message. And I did not plan it that way. God is just so smart. He just is so smart. I'm really not. He is smart. You see, when we do these offering declarations, I don't want you to misunderstand what we're doing. We are partnering with His kingdom when we say these things out loud. That's what we're doing. We're not, it's not a chant. It's not a magic set of words. It's a decision to say, as I bring my offering to the Lord, I am partnering with His kingdom. I am making a decision to partner with His reality instead of looking at my own. Because I'm telling you, sometimes when I say that offering declaration, my reality and His reality are miles apart. But that's okay, because His is way better than mine. So we have a new one today, and it goes so well. I just want to say it together. Keep going, Megan. It sounds so good. Thank you for stepping up and being led by the Spirit. Ready? As we bring today's offering, we are believing God for heaven opened, earth invaded, storehouses unlocked, and miracles created, dreams, visions, and divine manifestations, anointing, gifting, and calls, positions and promotions, provisions and resources to go to the nations, souls and more souls from every generation, saved and set free, carrying kingdom revelation. Thank you, Father, that as I join my value system to yours, you will shower favor, blessings, and increase upon me so that I have more than enough to co-labor with heaven and see Jesus get His full reward. Hallelujah! Publicly. So bear with me. Many years ago, I was facing one of the worst days of my life. And it was a situation where I couldn't take a friend in with me. I had to go alone. And I was dreading it. I was dreading it so much. And my sister and Rhonda both, I had talked to the morning of or the night before, and they both said, my sister's in South Carolina, they both said, I believe God is going to send angels to be with you. You're not going to be alone. And I'm like, well, I believe that, right? But as I was driving there, it was like God gave me this mental picture of Him sitting on His throne. A group of angels around Him, and He said, okay, who wants to go and be with my girl today? She needs you. And they were all like, ooh, 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 pick me, pick me, pick me. They were fighting over who was going to get picked to come and be with me. You see, that is against my understanding, but I feel like God was saying, they know how much I value you. And so they are running to come and be with you. They're hoping they get picked to come and be with you. Like little kids, when a teacher says, who's going to be my helper today? And they'll go, pick me, pick me, pick me. The angels were going, ooh, pick me, pick me. I want to go and be with her. I know that's for somebody in this room. There are angels who are so in awe of how you are making a decision to praise God in the middle of your darkest, coldest, wettest place that they are like, ooh, ooh, pick me. I want to go be with her. Pick me. I want to go be with him. Pick me, pick me, pick me. You just rest in that, and you know you are never alone. You are never, ever, ever, ever alone. Look for signs of God's being with you and soak there. Just soak there. Amen. Okay, Ron. Woo.